Hey, this is Monday, November 10th, Law of Mind.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, we're going to continue throughout the month to talk about the Law of Mind. We're going to talk about the Law of Mind because it's the most important thing that we can learn. We must learn to control our thinking, to control every thought that comes in, to monitor every thought. Thoughts are very powerful. So are words. And they're always going someplace and they're doing something. And once we realize how powerful we are and how powerful our words and thoughts are, we can start to observe what we are doing to ourselves so that we then can change what we are thinking about so that we can bring about what we really want. And it takes a little bit of intelligence. You have to be able to observe what your mind is doing. So we're going to talk about observing the mind or becoming a witness to the mind or becoming detached from the mind tonight. But before we do that, I would like you to turn to Rhoda and say to Rhoda, I am innocent.
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 And I am innocent. Why is that important to know? You must know that you are innocent. Your mind is not going to allow you to do that. It's going to hold something against you. Your memory is going to hold something against you to tell you that you're not innocent. Now, if you think you're not innocent, how are you going to get what you want? How are you going to get what you want if you think you're not innocent? Because if you think you're not innocent, then you think what? That you're guilty of something. And if you think you're guilty of something, then the next thought is going to be, I don't deserve it because I'm guilty of something. On this plane of action, we live in polarities. And our mind sees polarities all the time. Our job is to realize that that's just an observation on this plane of action. Many times I have said to you, the dish is never dirty. The dish is never dirty. You know that you are not your body. You know that you're not your mind. And if you're holding guilt and you think you're not innocent, what part of you is not innocent? What part of you is not innocent? It has to be your body or your mind that is not innocent. And you are not your body, and you are not your mind. So therefore, you have to be innocent of everything. People hold themselves in this state thinking that they're guilty. When you think you're guilty, you're separating yourself from this power that we call God. Because you think you don't deserve God. You do deserve God. You cannot make the statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, and then feel guilty about yourself. You have to learn to forgive yourself and forgive yourself instantly. You have to remember that you're always innocent. You also have to remember that God is with you throughout everything. So you can't do something which you consider bad and think God is not there with you. You couldn't do it without God. You couldn't do it without God. So you're never separated from God. So you have to realize, and when you have these guilty feelings or you think you're not innocent, you have to say, where are they coming from? What part of me is it coming from? And then you start to ask, who is not guilty? Who is not innocent? If you ask yourself all the time, who is feeling this? Who is thinking this? Who am I? And go into the stillness, you will learn that you're none your body, you're not your mind, and all these things that you hold against yourself, you have made up. They come from your own vain imaginings. You're making all that up. It looks real, it feels real, but it's not real. So try to see yourself always as innocent, so that you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You see, you cannot make those statements and then have something in your mind go off and say, but you're guilty of this. You didn't do this correctly. You didn't do that correctly. And you hold these things against yourself. That's your mind doing that to you. And you're not your mind. So learn to see where those thoughts are coming from. Where those thoughts are coming from. When I say that thoughts are very powerful, that is absolutely true. But you're not your thoughts. But you're not your thoughts. You have to remember that. Thoughts are thoughts. Thoughts are things. Thoughts go someplace. They do something. That's not you. That is not you. So always ask yourself, who is feeling this? Who is feeling this? Who is feeling guilty? Well, it's the who that you made up. It's that personality that you think you are. It's that mind that you think you are, making all kinds of things up. So you have to look around and see this world differently. When you look out in the world, excuse me, I always say that we're not seeing with our eyes, we're seeing with our mind. You have to realize that everything that you see, you're seeing through camouflage. You have to be able to pull the camouflage off of something to be able to see correctly. So when you think that you're guilty of something, you have put a camouflage over that and you're only looking at the camouflage part. Learn to take the camouflage off of everything so that you can see the essence of everything. Once you take the camouflage off of anything, the only thing that's there is God. The only thing that's there is pure light. But we have learned to put a camouflage over this entire world. And that's why we have difficulty. Because we start to believe the camouflage. Remember, the world is very convincing. And camouflage is very convincing. Don't be convinced with what you see. Therefore, don't be convinced that you're guilty of anything. What you have done that you think you're guilty of is just an action. It's just an action. You're the one that's putting value on that. You're saying. You're the one that's saying, oh, that's bad. Oh, that's good. There's no such thing. It's good or bad that the mind make it so. It's your mind that's making everything. Remember, we live in a mental world. A mental world. So your mind is making up all of this. So it's making up guilt. Animals do not feel guilt. We feel guilt and we're taught guilt from day one. And we're taught it by the world, and then we're taught it by all the people that are around us, and usually our parents. But most institutions use guilt, and society certainly uses guilt all the time to make you feel bad. To make you feel bad. Why are you doing that to yourself? You did not come to this plane of action to feel bad. You came to this plane of action to enjoy life. To enjoy life. Every aspect of life you are here to enjoy. So learn to enjoy your life. and give up the idea of guilt. All day long, if you must, say to yourself, I am innocent. I am innocent. I am innocent. Till that filters in to your being. Till you realize that the dish is never dirty. And that that pure light, that pure spirit that you are, has never been touched by any of that. And live from that part. Live from that part of you. Not from that superficial part of you called your personality. That thing that you think you are. That thing that you believe that your parents made you, or society made you, or this made you, or that made you. You have to be able to create yourself. And you have to be able to create yourself the way you want to be. But it starts with giving up guilt, by realizing that you truly are innocent. Then you can sit and make the next statement. I am worthy. I am deserving. I am totally lovable, and I matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. All the therapists that are here on this plane of action in this world would not have jobs if people knew that they were innocent. If people knew that they were innocent, you wouldn't run to a therapist. You run to a therapist because you want relief from your mind that's torturing you, telling you that you're guilty of something, telling you that you are not whole and complete and perfect. You must always go back to the idea, I am whole, I am complete, and I am perfect. Now your mind says to you, well, maybe that's so, maybe that isn't so. It's hard to grasp because you're working in the surface mind again. Go to that part in you that has never been touched by anything on the outside of life. You have a spirit within you. You have a light within you. You have a life within you. You have an intelligence within you that is never affected by what's going on around it. But you live in your surface mind, in your personality, and you buy into all this twaddle that the world has told you. You buy into it all the time. You see, most people believe guilt is an emotion, and is it a human emotion? And it's not. It's a man-made emotion. You made that emotion. So if you made it, you can unmake it. If you made it, you can unmake it. One of the main things to remember in life is, what has been done can be undone. What has been done can be undone. But your mind tells you, no, that that is not true. That you did something, and now you must live with it the rest of your life. And you must feel guilt and shame the rest of your life. That is no way to live life. No way to live life. So I'll tell you a cute story about how the mind works and how to become a witness to your own thinking and not buy into what your mind is saying. Because your mind is usually, not usually, I'll make the big statement and say always, convincing. It's always convincing you of something. The other night, I decided to cook. And I made big squash roasted in the oven. I had green beans. I made risotto rice. And I said to myself, isn't this wonderful? Because I could open up a package now of risotto rice and put it in the microwave and make that. The green beans, I just snip the little thing, they're already washed and all, and that's done. And the squash, I just cut in half and throw in the thing. And so with a pair of scissors these days in a microwave, you can cook. Oh, I had made a nice salad too. So I thought this was a wonderful meal. I ate this meal, it was very tasty and all. Very satisfied with myself. And all of a sudden, my mind said, well, you didn't do that right. You didn't take enough time doing that. That was entirely too easy. Where are all the pots and pans you used to get at? Where's all the fuss in the kitchen for 45 minutes to an hour? Where's all this? Da-da-da-da-da. I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? It was telling me that I hadn't done enough work, so I couldn't be proud of the meal because I didn't put enough effort into it. This is how your mind talks to you. This is what it does. Then it tried to ruin my whole achievement. I did not allow it to do that. I recognized what it was doing. I made it stop doing it. That is how you become a witness to your own thinking. How many times have you done something which you know is absolutely wonderful, and an hour later or the next day, your mind starts to pick it apart and said, well, you should have said this, you should have done that, you could have done this better, you could have. Why do you want to do that to yourself? Why do you want to allow your mind to do that to you? You have to be able to control your thinking. You have to be able to control your mind. And when you start to listen to your mind, when it tells you things like that, you are starting to believe in guilt. And you start to get guilty. And you start to feel ashamed. You see? Your mind is the one that sets you up for those things. So listen to your thinking and change it and correct it and see what it is doing to you. What it is doing to you. This is why we get into all the messes that we get into. Because the mind talks us into something. The mind talks us into something. And you must talk yourself out of it. The you that is real. You are not your mind. You must remember that. It's as convincing as it is. And I could have allowed my mind the other night to take me right down the tubes. But I stopped it from doing that. I stopped it from doing that. Most people cannot stop their mind from beating up on them all the time and by instilling guilt in them all the time. But we do all the things to our own self. No one else was there. No one else saw me in that kitchen. If I had brought that meal to you and presented it, you would have loved it and ate it and thought, oh, you did a wonderful job. But my mind said, no, you didn't do a good job. You didn't do a good job with that meal. It was too fast. You just used a pair of scissors. So it doesn't count. So it doesn't count. It most certainly does count. And I'm absolutely delighted that how cooking has changed over the years. Years ago, I'd have gotten out every pot and pan in the house and thought, oh, this is drudgery. Now with a pair of scissors, you can cook a meal. Snip, snip. And there you have a meal. So we have to advance also with the new technology and so forth Thank God. What if my mind would have said, well, it doesn't count unless it's a wood stove? You see? You're no good unless you can cook on a wood stove, Dallas. You can't. No one is a cook that uses a microwave. You see, these are the crazy little things that your mind tells you. Craziness. So you cannot listen to the thoughts that are going on in your mind. You have to be able to make your mind think what you want it to think. It's just like your computer. It's just like your computer. You must be able to make it do what you want it to do. And anyone of you like me, sometimes my computer will not do what I want it to do. But I keep working on it till I make it do what I want it to do. But we immediately accept a thought that comes into our mind. Oh, well, that must be true. It must be real because I thought it. No, it's just a crazy thought going through your mind. Just a crazy thought going through your mind. You have to be able to separate yourself from your thinking. You have to be able to separate yourself from your mind. Buddhists call it detach yourself. So that you see what you're doing, so that you become conscious, so that you become aware. But you have to bring yourself to that point. Awareness, that everyone wants to be aware because they think it's a very spiritual thing, to become aware. Aware just means noticing what's going on around you and noticing what you are doing. It means to notice. Most people have never noticed what they're doing. You have to become aware of what you are doing so that you see yourself all the time. So that you see yourself all the time. We talk about the thinker behind the thought. Well, there is the thinker behind the thought. Who is doing the thinking? Who is doing the thinking? If you're the thinker, then you're not the thought. So if you're thinking something you don't like, you say to yourself, who is doing the thinking here? And if you're doing the thinking, then you can change it. But if you buy into the idea that it's your mind and that you own your mind and you are your mind, then your mind's doing the thinking. And it's going to run you down the trail. You see? These are little wee things. But they mean a great deal. See, my mind wanted to wreck that whole evening for me. It wanted to wreck the whole evening because I was very proud of the meal. I thought it tasted good and the whole works. Oh, and I'll tell you what else it said. And you didn't present it very well on the plate, Dallas. Yes, that's what it did. Isn't that ridiculous? This is the way your mind works. And you have to be able to see that and then change that. So learn to become a witness to your thinking. Be the thinker behind that thought. And then change the thought to what you want. Remember, the whole idea of metaphysics or science of mind is to learn to think the thought that you want to think and learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. That's in Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind book, and I think it's on page 181. Could be wrong about the page, but I think it's 181. Marvelous concept. So that's what this teaching is about, you see, is learning to control your thinking, to see what you're doing all the time. Now, I also tell you that this thing called God, everyone knows that God is mighty, but you have to know that God is useful. And you have to know that God is with you all the time. And that God is always there to help you, always there to guide you. Years ago, I had a thing which was, I always take the right turn in the road. God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. And I'm always divinely guided. I'm always divinely guided. So you have to know that when you get up in the morning, you have to know that you're being divinely guided. That this presence called God is all around you. And this presence wants to help you all the time. Because if we say God is all-knowing and he's pure intelligence, we have to be able to use that. We have to be able to use that. So, I'll give you a cute example of how that's done. In December, I went to the eye doctor and got a prescription for new glasses. And I kept putting it off because glasses, I think, are quite expensive. So I kept saying that to myself, they're expensive. And I thought, well, I don't need them right now. So the other morning I woke up and it said, glasses, you should look at these glasses, you should go for glasses. I thought, oh no. Well, I happened to be down in West Hollywood in the store that I go to. I thought, oh, I know, that morning it kept saying glasses, and I thought, well, I could take my prescription with me and go to that store because I'm in the neighborhood. So then I said to myself, no, I'm not going to take that prescription. I don't want to buy those glasses right now. So then I was in the neighborhood without the prescription, but then I said, oh, Dallas, because then my mind said, go into the store. I thought, oh, why bother to go in the store? I didn't bring my prescription with me. So anyway, I listened to this. So I went into the eye store. The girl says, oh, Dallas, how are you? Where have you been? Blah, 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 blah. And I said, yeah. She said, I said, have you been busy? She said, not this month. We haven't been very busy. I said, oh, really? She said, no. I had one customer at the beginning of the week, and this was Thursday, but she said, I haven't had any since. I said, oh. And then she says to me, did you see the coupon in the paper? I said, I don't get a paper. Mm-hmm. What coupon? She said, we're having a 40% sale. Mm-hmm. I said, really? She said, yes. No. I said, no. She said, well, let me see if we can find a coupon for you. I said, can't you do it without the coupon? She said, no, the boss would never allow me to do it without a coupon, but I'll see if we can find a coupon. So I went home and she called and had the coupon. So I said, I'll go down on Saturday. 40% off. Pretty good, I thought. Now, what is the significance of that story? You have to listen to that little thing that says glasses. That is how God is helping you all the time. It's always directing you. I didn't want to do that, but something said go. And I walked into this store. No sign, no nothing. They don't say fail or anything. Just did you see the thing in the paper? If I wouldn't have listened to that, I wouldn't have said, so that's prosperity and abundance right there that I saved 40% on a new pair of glasses. These are not those. Maybe next week or the next week we'll get them. But this is when I say that God is not only mighty, God is useful. This is how God is always directing you. You must learn to listen, even with those small things. You see, if I went to listen to that, I'd have been out 40%, which is about $400, by the way. It's a large sum of money. So learn to ask and learn to hear what this universe is saying to you, or what this thing called God is saying to you. Now, you were out of the room, Andy. You remember when the three things, I'm always divinely guided, I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. You have to start your day with the idea that you are divinely guided. And then you go on to say, I'm always in my right place, doing the right thing, meeting the right people, and saying the right thing. And then you don't run into all the difficulties that other people run into. And this thing called God will put you in that position, will guide you. Now, I think many people are afraid of that because then they think, who am I? If God's doing all this and directing me here, maybe I don't want to go into that store. Maybe I want to go to another store. Feel free to do that. You could go to any store. You're free to do that. But you're also free to listen to the guidance that you're getting. God will not stop you from going in the wrong store. But God will tell you the right store to go into. You have to know that. You have to know that. People think that I shop all the time. I very seldom go shopping. But I have tons of things. Now, when I say I don't go shopping, it's because if I want something, I put it into my mind, and then mind brings it to me. Then mind brings it to me. You see, the problem with us is, instead of having things come to us, we're always trying to go to it. If you sit quietly, things will come to you. If you sit quietly, the whole world will unfold itself in front of you. But we don't. We think we have to rush here, rush there, because we have this ego mind. Remember, I think it was last week. You don't have to do everything yourself. Why do you think you always have to do everything yourself? If you have this power and this presence and this intelligence that you can call on, why wouldn't you use it all the time instead of thinking, oh, I have all that to do. I have it all to do. Which is some people's motto. Did you ever run around people say, oh, I have it all to do? You don't have it all to do. You don't have it all to do, but you must turn it over. And you turn that over by starting with the idea that you're always divinely guided. But this thing called God wants to help you in everything, wants to support you in everything. You're not separated from it. And what does that come from? Do you think you're separated? Because on this plane of action, we see duality all the time. We see the polarities all the time. North and south, yes. And no, up and down. There are no such things. There are no such things. This young man over here is trying to heal his finger. He said he broke his finger. It's hard to heal that because you have a belief system that has been in place a long time. And the belief system that you have in place is, on this plane of action, things take time. There's no such thing as time and space in the mind of God. If you realize there's no such thing as time and space in the mind of God, your finger will heal instantly. But it's difficult for us to believe that, isn't it? Because you see, we live in a world which tells us there's a beginning and there's an end. And if there's a beginning and there's an end, then what's in between is called time and space. It's called time and space. But there's no such thing as time and space in the mind of God. There is only the now. There's only the present moment. So you have to remember that. You have to remember that. Then you go to yourself if you want to heal that finger. You go to that part in you that has never been touched. That part of you that doesn't know what a finger is. You see, if you didn't have a finger, you wouldn't be able to break it, would you? Once you realize you don't have a finger, it can't get broken. I know. We'll go into that some other time. But give up the idea that there's time involved. Everything is instant in the mind of God. You can heal that finger. How long did the doctor tell you it would take?
2 weeks.
Ah, so that's not too bad. So why don't you prove him wrong and do it in a week? You can cut it in a week. You see, and the next time something happens to you, you can cut it sooner. Everyone wants a miracle right away, and everyone wants to be able to do this right away. It's difficult to do those things right away because you're not used to doing them, number one, and you're caught up in time and space. And you believe in time and space. So if you believe in time, then it takes time to heal something. That all things take time. But know that that's not true. Know that that's not true. We hear that so often, it becomes a part of us, it becomes a part of our belief system. And it's hard for us to give that up. Now we're coming into what's called the cold season. And everyone knows that a cold has to run its course. Everyone knows that it takes 3 to 5 days to get rid of a cold. Who made that up? Who made that up? I talked earlier about guilt. One of the byproducts of guilt is illness. One of the byproducts of guilt is illness. If you get a cold or you get anything, sit down and start to forgive yourself. Just start to forgive yourself. The cold will go away. Can't stay. Can't stay. See. Guilt brings that to you. Okay. Let me do some of my cards. This one I absolutely love. And please take this to absolute heart and do it for yourselves. Start doing something for yourself. Not to please others, just for yourself. Commit that, and the energy will build and spread into ever-increasing areas of consciousness. You must do something nice for yourself, nurture yourself every day. You are the most important person in your life. You are the only person that will never leave you. But yet you are taught to neglect yourself and help other people. I'm all for helping other people, by the way. Why is it so important to start doing something for yourself? Because you're telling yourself that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. If you don't do something good for yourself, you're saying, I don't matter, the other person matters, I don't. But the world teaches you to keep doing stuff for yourself makes you selfish. Well, go ahead and be selfish. Be selfish with yourself. But learn to nurture yourself. If we are here on this plane of action to enjoy this life, how can we enjoy this life if we don't do something good for ourselves all the time? Doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense. But we have been taught, and still are, by the world and by most institutions, that we should help other people and neglect ourselves. Do not neglect yourself. Do not neglect yourself. When you neglect yourself, what are you doing? If I tell you, and you've heard me say it before, the highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself. Now, if you neglect yourself, don't do good things for yourself, what are you doing? You're neglecting God. You're neglecting God. And you're saying God lives in that person and not in me. That I don't matter. Your responsibility is to find within yourself those things you feel would make your life explode. Become alive and full. Yes, your responsibility is to find within yourself those things you feel would make your life explode. Yes, fine. What? Everyone has something. Make your life explode. Be explosive. Be full of life. Why do you want, you have so much life in you, so much power in you, and yet you sit around like lifeless people. There's so much creativity. Everyone has creativity in them. What is creativity? Creativity is God. Creativity is God. And you must learn to use that. You must learn to use that and explode. Wouldn't that be lovely? My favorite one, I love that word, explode, too, was Charles Fillmore. Remember, one of the founders, co-founder of Unity. He said, I just sizzle with life. I sizzle with life. Now, isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you like to sizzle with life? It says, oh, well, okay, I guess. No, come alive. If you don't come alive in this lifetime, when are you going to come alive? You'll just keep coming back till you do, you know. Might as well do it now. It has to do with deciding what you enjoy in life. It has to do with what you enjoy in life. What do you enjoy in life? Then do that. Then do that. And do it as often as you can. If you don't enjoy your job, find something you do enjoy. I did not say go out and quit your job, by the way. Either learn to love that job and learn to enjoy it, or find something that you really love to enjoy. Once you find something you really love to enjoy, it will become your work. It will become your work. But you have to learn to enjoy and enjoy your life. You're here to enjoy. It is the releasing of energy into something you want to do that makes you feel delighted and excited. Delighted and excited. It's the releasing of energy into something you want to do. You must release the energy. Most people have their energy so bottled up, so covered up, that it can't get out. You have to bring this energy out, this life force out of you, so that you can enjoy your life. But you're responsible for doing that. You're the one who has to rev yourself up. You're the one who has to become enthusiastic and so forth. If you're waiting for God to give you a kick in the rear end to get you started, well, give that idea up. God doesn't have a foot, but I do. You have to. If you have to kick yourself, kick yourself. But move and let this energy, this life, flow through you and out into the world. Don't you just love to be around people that are alive and exciting and so forth? And don't you sometimes envy them? How did they do it? They did it by allowing that life in them to come up through them. to come up through them. The most important thing to remember is this thing called God does not show favorites. If one person can get excited and have this life coming through them, we all can. God doesn't show favorites. God does for one and everyone the same. Yes, that's why it's so nice to get around excited people. Find out how they do that and then start doing it for yourself instead of saying, oh, well, they're so excited, I can't be around them. I've heard somebody say, oh, they have so much energy, I can't be around them. Well, I love to be around energetic people. That energy rubs off on you. You get excited yourself. You see? You get excited yourself. Your mind never runs out of energy. Your mind never runs out of energy. When your body's running out of energy, it's because you're telling your mind. The body doesn't get tired. Body's not made to get tired. Oh, I love this one. Don't try to outguess God. Just know the things that will make you exuberantly happy. Alive and grounded. Discover them with the trust in the universe and watch what happens. Discover that, and the universe will back you up on that, and then watch what happens. Don't try to outguess God. Just know the things that will make you exuberantly happy, alive and grounded. Discover them with trust in the universe and watch what happens. Now, what does this mean at a deeper level? Just know the things that will make you exuberantly happy. What makes you happy? Therein lies God. Therein lies God. You see, if you're trying to find God, find out what makes you happy, what fills you with joy. And there you'll find God. There you'll find God. But we sit around not being happy. Why? Why do we sit around not being happy? There's just wonderful things going on all the time. Wonderful things going on all the time. This is an exciting life we live. Then I hear people say they're bored. I don't know how you could be bored. Tons of things. If you do not consciously have a place in your life where you are creative and dynamic, you are not going to feel whole. If you do not consciously have a place in your life where you are creative and dynamic, you are not going to feel whole. Now, don't let your mind run out and think, oh, well, now I have to do something big on a big scale. If washing dishes gives you that feeling, then there it is. But everyone is looking for something big. You don't have to look for something big. But you have to look for something that makes you feel good and makes you feel creative and so forth. If it's straightening out a drawer, straighten out the drawer for goodness sakes. And pat yourself on the back and say, look how creative I was. I figured out how to throw this out and move that over here and do this, that, and the other thing. Yes, this is life, people. Everyone wants something else out of life. Who was it that said, even after enlightenment, you have to do the laundry? Say, you have to do things. Be exciting. You weren't sent to this plane. You weren't sent to the earth plane as a punishment. How many people here think that they're here to be punished in any way? You've got to give that idea up. in any way, shape, or form. You weren't sent to the plane, to the earth plane, as a punishment. You were sent here to enjoy it, to delight in it, to have a life that makes you jump out of bed in the morning instead of covering up your head. A life that you jump out of bed in the morning. Every night before I go to bed, I say, oh, thank goodness I can get up in the morning, have my two cups of coffee and read. Now I get excited to get up in the morning. Oh, can't wait. I get up sometimes before the alarm clock goes off for two different reasons. I don't like to hear it go off. The other thing, I get excited because, oh, now I get a chance to have my two cups of coffee. Because I only drink two cups of coffee a day. That's the treat. See, I treat myself to that. I used to drink 18 to 20 cups a day. Yes. I did. Now, my two cups excite me. And I stop at those two cups. All life is discipline. All life is discipline. And we think that discipline is a bad word. But in discipline comes freedom and comes everything else. No one drinks 20 cups of coffee for long. You know, it's not good for you. Two cups, you can get excited. So learn to get excited about your life. Know that you are here to enjoy life, to enjoy yourself, and to learn to love yourself. Every little part of you, you know. Every part of you. That means your shadow side also. You see, no one wants to talk about their shadow side. They don't want to talk about any of the bad qualities that they have. They think, oh, I just want to do them. You can talk about those bad things. We all have it. We live on this plane of action of duality. As long as you're on this plane of action, you're going to have the good and the bad. So if you're always thinking, oh, I have to be nothing but good, give that idea up too. Now, here again, I'm not saying go out and be bad. But learn to accept yourself the way you are. And learn to love yourself the way you are. That has to start with who you are now and where you are now. You have to do that. So it's done in your mind, all this. It's done with your imagination. And it's learning that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.